Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Do you know, like, God has that family over you. You know, you are a real family and you build family in this place. And just, we're so thankful to be Trinity, to be partnering with you. And also just Basildon, you're very fortunate to partner with Clive and Debbie. And just, I'm so excited you take us on this faith adventure. And it's so fun. It is so fun. This verse in John 15. So I'm closing off the series on Battle for Your Mind today. And it's been such a good series of just dealing with some of the stuff that we've probably picked up over the last year and a half or even longer. And just that we need to shake off some of it. We need to shake some of it off. And actually, just I just want to read this verse over you. It says this. John 15, verse 16, it says this. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. This is Jesus saying this to you. This is God saying this to you. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. I have appointed you to produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give whatever you ask in my name. Can you say that? Can you just say that out loud? God has chosen me. I am chosen by God. And then have a look round. Have a look round the church. We are chosen by God. We are God's people. What an amazing privilege. What an incredible privilege it is. And I just, as I stand here afresh in this room today, I've not been here for probably 18 months. Obviously, we're doing all the Zoom stuff, but God has chosen you and appointed you. You are God's people on this earth today. What an amazing privilege it is. You are God's people. In the Old Testament, God revealed himself. I am God and you are my people. I am God and you are my people. You are God's people on this earth today. What an incredible privilege that is. What an incredible privilege to be in the room with God's people, God's chosen people, the people that God has chosen to make abundantly fruitful so that his kingdom can come. What a privilege that is. Yes, you are. That's John 15. Good stuff. You're in the right Bible verse, at least. God is the true vine, and as we remain in him, he will remain in us and make us fruitful. You are God's chosen people. But I'm going to speak about doubt today. I'm going to speak about, you know, what is it like when we're living in doubt? And I'm going to preach from 1 Samuel. You'll all know this story. It's 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17 is David and Goliath. One of the most well-known scriptures in the whole of the Bible. Whether you are a Christian or not a Christian, you know, in the sporting field, it's the David and Goliath. You know, like you always support the Davids because they're the underdogs and everyone gets behind them. And, you know, like David and Goliath is known as a story, not just for us, but for other people. But the opposite of doubt is faith. The opposite of unbelief is belief. And I believe we need to, as I said earlier, just shake off some of the unbelief and doubt that we've had in this last season. You know, some of the unbelief and doubt that we've had. Because God needs you to be his people on this earth today. Not just God. This society needs you to be the people of God on the earth today. As we come out of COVID, people need you to be a person of faith. People need you to be standing in the faith that God has put you here to bring his kingdom. People need you. I was going to call this story, What's the Difference with David? And I say that cautiously, because just because you have doubts does not mean that you're God's chosen one for that season. But David was very different in this place to the rest of the people. David was different in this season. That doesn't mean that David did not deal with doubts in other seasons. So in this story, what's the difference with David? What is the difference with David? What happens? So, 1 Samuel 17, and I'll read through some of it. So the Philistines, God's people's enemy, Israel, God's people, their enemy, were at war with Israel. And what happens in war is that the armies come out together and they stand opposite each other in war of these days. But then there was a way of dealing with battle that was different, where one warrior would fight a different warrior from either side, rather than everyone fighting. And then if the warrior that won then became the one that, you know, the people became enslaved to the other people. The victory was in that one battle, which is a really unusual way of fighting war from our perspective. But Goliath came out. And it says this about Goliath. Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistines' rank to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore a bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of the spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him, carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. I want to start. In this life, you will come across battles. You will come across big enemies, and they're real enemies. And they're threatening, and you look at them and you think, I cannot. I cannot move that mountain. I cannot do this. I cannot do this. The walk of faith is a journey where you're going to come into contact with things that you need to overcome, things that you need to battle through, things that you need to think, oh, I don't think I can handle that, God. I don't think I can do that. I don't think I've got the strength for this battle. And they're real things. This Goliath was 9 feet tall. I think it was 9'9", it says, but he was a giant. I mean, I'm tiny. David was probably my height, I reckon. You know, like, think of someone who's 9'9" standing in front of you. And he's not just a normal person. He's someone who's a champion. He's been fighting. He's powerful. He's strong. He's mighty. Not only is he powerful, strong, and mighty, but he has these powerful, strong, and mighty weapons that could, you know, kill you. That big iron spear that could really cause damage to you. There is real enemies. There is real power. There's real things that you can be afraid of when you come into contact with them. This was a real battle. And we see Saul and the Israelites, how they respond. How do they respond? In faith? No, in fear. In fear. And as we go through the story, it says that this happened 40 days in a row, where the Philistines come out and they say, You can't beat me. Look how mighty I am. Look how powerful I am. Look how strong I am. It goes on and on, day after day, day after day, day after day. And day after day, it says, the Bible's quite funny, because it says, day after day, this is verse 20, it says that the Israelites would go out riding into battle, shouting battle cries. And I just think, what, you're going to line up and face the enemy? You're going to go out to the battle line shouting, "Woo, we're going to win, we're going to win." And then as soon as one giant comes out, you're going to run away scared. It's funny. Like they're riding out, shouting these battle cries, shouting these things. But as soon as they come to the moment where they're facing the enemy, where they're facing that threat, they run away in terror. Their faith is gone. Their fear overrides them. Their doubt builds up. And you can imagine it day after day, the doubt building. You know what happens when you're in a community of people who doubt? Do you know what happens? You grow in doubt. When you're in a community of people who are saying, oh, do you know what? I'm not sure we can do this. I'm not sure we can handle that. I'm not sure. When you're in a people and you're hearing the voices around you, guess what? Fear grows in you as well. Doubt grows in you as well. When you're hearing all these voices come at you, you're like, okay, I'm going to back off as well then. I'm going to run away. I'm going to run from this. Saul was a mighty warrior. Saul was a man who's faced loads of battles. He was also a champion who had won battles. He was a well-seasoned warrior. The people in his army were well-seasoned. They were powerful and mighty as well. And yet, because of the culture around them, they were all in fear. They were all in worry. They were all doubting their own ability. And then what happens? Then what happens next is this David, who's this like young man, this boy who's not old enough to be sent to the battle lines yet. His three brothers are, but he's not. So he's left at home with the sheep, looking after the sheep. He's not a warrior. He's like a shepherd. He's left there because he's not fully grown and he's not strong like the other people there. And David goes there and he arrives and his dad just sends him there. His dad doesn't send him there to eat. His dad doesn't send there to battle. His dad sends him there to take sustenance and, you know, take these sandwiches to your brothers. You know, go and do that. Take these sandwiches so that they can eat, so that they can be strong and mighty. Well done. Good boy. Good lad. And David goes. And he's on the battle line and he arrives as they're riding out shouting their battle victory songs and he gets all excited like, oh, I'm going to go see the battle. This is going to be amazing. The victory of Israel. And he gets to the front line where his brothers are and he's chatting to his brothers and his brothers are like, you know, then Goliath comes out and Goliath shouts his taunt again. And he shouts this. He shouts that. You know, who are you? You are just Saul's men. You are just Israel, Saul's army. Who do you think you are? Like, come and fight me, one of you, chickens. Come and get me. And he's taunting them. And David hears it and he's like, what? Like, what are you, what? Like, who's going to go out then? Is it, come on, big brother, come on. Like, you're the warrior around here. Are you going to go out? But he starts asking these questions and he starts saying, well, why is no one, why are we running in fear? Why are we not going out? And he says, you know, all right, I'll go. You know, send me, why not? And what does his brother say to him? Who do you think you are? Little boy. Coming out here to me. Who do you think you are? Idiot. You're going to go out and fight them? Yeah, right. Come on. But then he says, David says, turns around from his brother and say, listen, I'm just chatting to these guys, actually. And he starts asking the same questions again. Sometimes it's your friends and your family around you, the people you're closest with, who will also spread doubt in your life. Who do you think you are? The people of God. Yeah, come on. The people of God on this earth. What are you going to... I remember offering to pray for my brother who's a non-Christian. And he just laughed at me. Like, I just laughed at me in my face. And you know how... Okay. Sometimes it's the people who are closest to you who will bring the biggest doubt inside of you. Who will grow that doubt inside of you if you listen to their voices. But the word got round that David's asking these questions, and then Saul, the king, invites David in and says, I hear you've been asking questions about this. And David says, no, send me out. I'll go. I want to fight this man. I can do it. What does Saul say? Don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous. Have you seen yourself? There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're just a boy. This man's been a man of war since his youth. You're not going to win this battle. Don't be an idiot. Don't be ridiculous. Don't be so stupid. I can't send you. You're going to embarrass me, let alone yourself. But society around you, you know, the people around you, even the leaders sometimes will bring doubt sometimes in. And you're like, God has said this. God has said it. How does David respond? Listen, I've been taking care of my father's sheep. Exactly, you're a little shepherd. You should be going up fighting. And I've been fighting bears and lions, and I've been winning. I've been grabbing them. When they get the sheep, I run after them and I grab them by the hair and I open their jaws and they release the sheep. I can fight these people. But not only me. You're forgetting who I am. In fact, you're forgetting who you are. You are God's people. You are God's chosen people on this earth. Why are you cowering from this Philistine? Why are you cowering from someone who does not know the mighty God, the living God, the creator God? Why are you cowering from the one who is not knowing the lords of heaven's armies? Whose perspective are you taking on? Whose perspective are you living in? What are you looking at? Do you know, I really like it when the story slightly before this, when David is anointed the king. There's promise over him. And he wasn't even in the room because his dad thought, you know, he's not the one. He wasn't even in the room. He wasn't even invited in. And when Samuel, the person who was anointing him as the next king, saw his eldest brother, he said, yeah, no, that's the one. That's definitely, look, he's 10 foot tall and big army strong. Yeah, that's the one. And God said, no, that's not the one. That is not the one. And he went through the next eight and said, oh, not in the room, is there no more? And then he called David in and it said that he was ruddy and handsome. And it actually said that he was quite good looking and quite strong and quite, you know, oh yeah, no, he's a, yeah. And God said, that is the one. And I want to ask you, like, whose perspective are you living under right now? Whose perspective? Are you living in the perspective of God, what God calls over you, that he has chosen you, that you are his people? Or are you looking at the perspective of the earth? Oh, you know, I'm quite small. I'm not very strong. I'm not very educated. I'm not very this. I'm not very that. I'm not very... You know, you can live in this place of constant self-condemnation. And not just self-condemnation, but other people are saying things which have partial truth in them. And you're like, do you know, I'm just going to live in the doubt. Or you can choose faith. You can choose to know that God is upon you. That God is within you, that his Holy Spirit is upon you right now, living within you as a guarantee that you are his people, that you are his people, that you are called by him, that he loves you, and not just for you, but for the society around you, for the people around you. The people around you need you to rise up in faith, people. They need you to know that you are God's people. And God says, I have victory for you. I have victory. You are my favored people. You are my people who are called by my name on this earth today. You are my people. I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. God has chosen you. And he's chosen you so that his kingdom can come on this earth. I love Bev's story. Bev, I love it. Come on. God has anointed us to bring his kingdom. Isaiah 61, my spirit is upon you. Why? To bring the kingdom of God in. You are God's people chosen to bring the kingdom of God in and have mighty victories in the battles that you face. I love the fact that actually, that when David's in front of the king, David says, actually, no, I am prepared for this season. And I think that's a word for some of us in today. Like, you might be thinking, you know, am I prepared? Am I not prepared? Am I prepared? Am I not prepared? God has prepared you for this season. God has made you ready for this season. If there's a battle in front of you, God has prepared your heart, your mind, and your soul for this season. God is upon you for this season. But you know what the beauty is? When I was thinking of this, the next bit was that the king tried to put his armor onto David, and David could not move in that armor. He couldn't battle in that armor, and he was just like, do you know what? I can't go out in this armor. Some people, you know, if you're growing into something, if you're developing into something, you might think, oh, I need to be just like that person. Whereas actually God says, no, you need to be who I've created you to be. Now, one of the most beautiful things about this is a few chapters later is David's leading an army. And guess what he'd have been wearing? He wouldn't have been wearing his shepherd's kit at that time. He'd have been in full armor, this armor that he couldn't work in at this moment. And I just want to say, the life of faith is a constant journey until the end. The life of faith is a constant development and growing until the end. Until you are seeing Jesus face to face. Until you are with him, either he's returned or you're gone back up to him. The life of faith is a journey. And I want to say, you know what? Even if you don't think you're prepared now, you can start preparing now. You can start making decisions and choices to start preparing yourself now. Are you getting into your word? Are you building your faith up? Is there stories that you go back to? This story is a story I go back to again and again and again. So I'm like, it builds faith in my soul. It builds life in my soul. And I think, yes, God, you can do it. And when I'm hearing the voices around me, I need this voice of, I am God's chosen person in this generation. We are God's chosen people in this generation to bring his kingdom. He is the God of heaven's armies. That's the cry that David shouted out. The Philistines said, incorrectly, you are just Saul's army. Incorrect. Incorrect. That's a lie. Do not believe that lie. You are not just like the queen's people or whatever it is. You're not just Clive's people. You are God's people on this earth today. The God of heaven's armies. Don't listen to the lies. And he cried out, you know, you will not defeat me because I come in the name of Jesus. Because I come in the name of the commander of heaven's armies. That's what David shouted as he came out. And he comes out running with his sling, and he's an offense to the enemy. And the enemy starts mocking him, but he's fully aware of who he is. He's fully aware in his own identity and in the God that he serves. He's fully aware that he is God's person. And what does he do? He takes a little stone. And that little stone hits Goliath right between the eyes. Right between the eyes and defeats the enemy. Right between the eyes and hits the enemy. God is upon you. God is upon you, the well. God is upon you. God is here. God is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. I'd love to just pray for a few people. But first of all, I'd like, and this is awkward, but I'd like everyone to stand. Whether you're on Zoom or not, wherever you are, and I want you to do something, and it's quite strange, but I think sometimes God calls you to do strange things in order to release freedom in you. And you can do it however you want, but I just want to encourage you to shake your hands as if you've just washed your hands and you're shaking the water off. You're shaking the water off. No one's watching you. This is all between you and God. Just shake it. And I'm just saying now, shake off the doubt. Shake it off, Lord. Shake off any doubt within us, Lord. Shake it off, Lord. Shake it off, Lord Jesus. Shake off the fear. Shake off the anxiety, Lord Jesus. Shake it off, Lord God. Bring freedom to your people, Lord Jesus. Shake off the doubt, Lord. Shake off the lies of the enemy, Lord Jesus, that we've listened to, Lord God. The doubts that are upon our mind, Lord God, a day and night, Lord God. Shake them off. Shake them off now, Lord Jesus. Shake them off now, Lord Jesus. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come in your power. Set your people free, Lord. For freedom, you have set us free, Lord Jesus. Shake us off, Lord. Shake it off, Lord. And now I'd just like you to just stop shaking, if you can. And just put your hands out as if you're ready to receive. Do you know faith is a gift from God? And he tells us to eagerly desire the gifts of God. Just by putting your hands out, you're saying, you know, I'm eager to desire that faith gift, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord God, your people are here. We are your people. We are dearly loved by you. We are chosen by you, Lord God. And I just pray now for a filling of your Holy Spirit. A filling of faith, Lord Jesus, for the battle ahead, Lord. A filling of faith, Lord Jesus, for the victories that you have for us in this place, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray that you would increase our expectancy for the work that you're going to do in this next season, Lord. Increase it, Lord. Bring faith in this place, Lord. Bring faith in this place, Lord Jesus. Bring faith in our hearts and minds, Lord God. We are your people, Lord. We are your people called by your name, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us up. Fill us up. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. More of you, Lord. More of you, Jesus. Come.